Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us by TalkCast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website, which is www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702. And you can also look for it using Starfleet Universal On Call or SFU On Call. And of course, if you want the best online experience, you need to go to twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU On Call. And you can join us there for the live taping of this wonderful podcast. You can join the people in the chat room and just have a good old time. And, of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me on Twitter, you can do that. My podcasting account is sfuoncall. Big shocker there. And, of course, my personal account is Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And also my business account, which is Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z. G-A-M-E-S, again, there's no T in that. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Well, on the AB this week, Steve Cole seemed like he was under the weather this week, so he didn't get into the office. But I'm pretty sure that Steve Patrick still got to get on to do some more work on the Orion Master Starship book. It might have been that, might have been just working on putting out product, because I know Gene was sick also this week, so they had some delays in shipping products out to people. So if you're taking a little longer than expected, well, that's why. And this week on found on the online store is Alien Armada Unity. It's for $16.95. This is from Daniel Cass. That's who actually created the rules. He did a lot better. I'm just thinking about the first edition that was ever created. Steve Cole wasn't as hands-on on that one. I don't think it turned out nearly as well as some of the things just did not translate over well. But I think the current one is pretty good. It's pretty good. Now, it's only $16.95. The new faction, meet as a Storm Armada joins the Starfleet Universe. Alien Armada was done by joint venture with ADB and Majestic 12 Game, which is Daniel Cast. And the 84-page rulebook includes the Tholians, the Neo-Tholians, the Sultorians, and the faction that threw the Tholians out of the M81 galaxy. You know those. And many more ships from the Orion Pirates. Now, just a reminder that this book is an expansion, and you must have either the Klingon Armada Unity or Romulan Armada Unity. And, of course, the play will enhance if you buy the Star Armada Core rules. Now, if you like Alien Armada, Klingon Armada, Romulan Armada, I would highly recommend that you buy the Star Armada Core rules. The basics of this, because the great thing about Star Armada is they can create whatever sci-fi ships universe that you want to create. It's right there. So it's really great. You can create your own weapons and all that. It's a beautiful rule system for doing just that. Also, to remind that they also have a Discord server. They have a Facebook channel, and they have also a forum. I forget if it's a forum or BBS or what, but they have it on m12games.com. As a reminder for that, yes, I am a hawk for them at the moment. It's because I really like their products. I even bought Grand Fleet. I have not read the rules for Grand Fleet. I really want to. Grand Fleet, for those who don't know, it's about fighting the big ships, actually sailing the seven seas, those ships. I don't think they cover the idea of fighters and that so forth. I'm not sure how well they do modern. I have not got that. I have not read the rules, so I can't tell you about that. But moving on, word and forward, before I really made this news section way too long. And that is, of course, SFB Online Tournament, Sapphire Star 16 Tournament. We've got one person already in the finals, which is Mad Jack, or a.k.a. Jack Taylor. And in the semifinals, we have Jeff Clark, of course, which he beat Peter Bakia. And then Stephen McCann. This is going to be interesting setup with the Firehawk versus the Wind Auxiliary Battle Cruiser, which is with the phaser boat. You know, two phaser ones in the front, then you have a phaser G on the side, and another phaser one on the other side. So it flies around like a crazy. And the idea is to get nice and close and just tractor and kill. That's basically part of it, but we'll be talking more about that game later on in the podcast. Moving on and forward, when it comes to Library Report, nothing much has been happening there. I did actually update some, a couple Lirans and a couple Federation also were updated, so that those updates have been on the SFB libraries. FedCom Library, we're actually working on two missing ships, which were pointed out by someone on the Facebook page. If you go on to the FedCom Library and you see there's missing ships that you want to play, please contact me, because that means we can contact Steve Cole. He'll create the card. Either me or Chris Newsy will actually create the definition, so that it'll be added to the library, and then you can play that ship. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. And actually, we do have one other person, which I'm sure you're more than happy to say hello to. So say hello, Doug.
Hi, Doug. Did you unmute me?
Yes, I unmuted you. Oh, but that'd be kind of silly if I didn't unmute you.
You know. Yay! That's not just a voice in my head. Yay!
Right. Okay, and don't mind me, folks. I am just trying to bring up Twitch on my iPad, which I use it to monitor and make sure I'm actually streaming, but I think I'm streaming. And that, just in case, like, I'm doing it by myself, all by myself. Which happens every once in a while. Da-da, and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, when you sleep.
Or, like, when you're having a conversation with your friend and you disconnect, and it's like, still talking, and then you realize, why I dialed to him.
True. Okay. Given that, I'm not sure if you noticed the second message I sent you, that I was looking at the Sapphire Star 16 tournament in the semifinals, which there's still one game to play. And it's Jeff Clark, the guy who beat me, the guy who beat Peter Bakia, and now is going up against Stephen McCann. And I saw the matchup and I said, we really should talk about this matchup a little bit, because of, in my mind, it's an interesting matchup. In my mind, I think that Jeff will lose. One, because Stephen McCann is an excellent player. Two, I think that the wax will just, it will kill the Firehawk. Now, so to give you a little more insight into the matchup, actually, which is, of course, the Romulan Tournament Firehawk and against the Wind auxiliary battle cruiser. Now, the option mounts are phaser 1B option, phaser G in the C option, which is the left side, and phaser 1 in the D option, which is the right side. So it's a exactly what it is. It's a phaser boat. With a phaser boat with, I think this through for a moment, it's seven phaser ones, which you have on your left hand side. You can hit with all seven of them because four of them that are on the original boat, sans the option mounts, are 360 degree arc phasers. And of course, it goes without saying that given at the beginning of the tournament, everybody starts weapon status 3, max speed. That's exactly what's going to start happening with the wind. The wind's going to start with like speed 30, possibly 31, maybe a little less. Because the thing is, this ship so much says go tractor them and kill them. Because, as if it wasn't obvious, it's not a very power,
Jesus.
POWER, power hungry ship. There's no heavy weapons. The quote unquote heavy weapons are the drone racks, and he's got four of those. So, the Wax is going to be able to fly around the board like a bat out of hell, with no issues whatsoever. It's two-thirds arming ship. I'm sorry, not the arming, movement ship, and so he can easily fly around it. And since the phasers themselves are capacitors, he starts it with the capacitors full. Now, the only question I have for him, there are basically two options for his shuttles. And I'm not sure which one he's going to choose, to be honest, because I know what I would choose, but because I'm of the cautious mind, which is I would choose two wild weasels, but my guess actually is he'll probably go with two suicide shuttles. Because of with the suicide shuttles, when he tractors them, he can then launch not just the drones, but also the suicide shuttle. And
Absolutely. And he might save one. He might do the first turn of arming on a weasel on the side too.
yep. And the thing is, time is on his side because of the Romulan's going to want to launch the plasmas to keep him at a distance and have it so that he's always running around the board. And therefore, it gives the Romulan the ability to come up behind him. Now, which is obviously the one gotcha for the Wax, which is the Romulan's going to come behind him and try to stay behind him and try to stay on the same shield. If he can stay on the same shield, because in theory, I've done this with the Andromeda. In theory, the Wax can actually go round the board and round the bowl and just go flying at top speed. And in the case of the Wax, he doesn't have to worry about running out of power, unlike the Andromeda. And it can stay on the outside, but the thing is, when he does that, he's only going around the world, going around the bowl, in one direction. So that's a problem in that the same shield is going to be facing the Romulan. If the Romulan goes around the inside and goes around a circle in there, because I'll bring it back to it was the Hydran player, John Stiff, versus me. I was in the Andromeda, and I was basically what I was doing was flying around the outside of the board. This is when the Andromeda could do this. This is earlier on when we had like additional 4 power. I could do that. And run around the outside of the board, and then every once in a while I dip in, hit him, and then run on the outside because, and what he would do is he ran around the inside, and unfortunately I kept on doing that, and he pinned me to the wall with his fighters and killed me. So, see that's one of the things that the Hydran has that the Romulan doesn't. The Hydran has actually fighters, which don't have to go in a seeking manner. They can go ahead of the Andromedan, or so it can kind of anticipate where the Andromedan is going to go. In this case, cut the path to be shorter. Anyway, so I'm not obviously the Romulan's gonna probably do what he did against me, did it against Peter. Actually, Peter didn't fly enough with him. He only got like a one turn in. I got like 11, which is basically. I'm not sure. Here's the one thing, which is, of course, the ultimate question with any plasma chucker, which is, what do you do the first turn? For the past two games, this Jeff Clark has played the Romulan this way, which is launch. One S, one real S, one fake S. Not sure which one is
Play the
which.
shell game.
Yep, the shell game. Because it's always that as a player, you can't say, oh, they're two fakes or two reals. You can't. Well, you can't even assume one's a fake. You have to assume that they're both real and treat them as such. Now you can guess that one's real and one's fake, but the question is, in that case, is that true?
I think the real question is going to be, does the wind player decide to be a guided missile and go right at him, or does he decide to dance around the board and build up a drone wave?
True. You got a good point there.
I mean, each
Because,
one of them's going to try to play to the other guy's weaknesses. And well, I think if he's looking at a phaser boat that's high speed that can outrun his plasmas, playing a shell game is almost pointless in the beginning unless you're going all in on fakes or reals.
right.
If the guy's coming at him as a ballistic thing, he could turn away.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend a Het because, Het.
Yeah.
That ballistic pig has all the ballistic
Has the maneuverability of a rock.
the ballistic turn capability of like let's say an actual like two-stage missile where the middle stage isn't meant to do a Het.
Right. Agreed. Oh, I totally agree there. But I think you have an excellent point in bringing up the possibility that, okay, they'll come in, they'll do a battle pass. I'm not sure if the Ramen or the Wax will go for a corner dodge or not. No clue what their opening moves will be. But the one thing that comes to mind is, will the, well, in this case, Stephen McCann, playing the wind, will he use his drones to basically slow down the Romulan? That is, force the Romulan to, at the very, very least, fire his phasers to slow him down.
Are the drones speed 32 in
Nope,
tournament
speed
in the
20.
sky? Speed 20s. Is he allowed to upgrade any of them to 32s?
Nope.
Okay.
You can trade in type, I think, two type ones for a type four. You
Right.
can do it twice.
Right. So basically he can make his own terrain with them.
Right.
Or he can tractor the Romulan and feed him those torps.
That, yeah, feed the drones, yes. That's the one question. Because, as I said, I can see using them as drones for decreasing the amount of power that the Ronin has and therefore slow them down. I can also see the real, obviously benefit and a true, good way of going, which is to hold the drones for your attack run on the Romulan, where you want to come in with your drones behind you, because you're going faster. Then you tractor the Romulan, let the drones catch up, and the Romulan has to deal with that, and then you launch another volley of drones after you tractor them. Of course, if you tractor them,
Well, he has limited drone control too, though, right?
right, well, that's why you have to do one wave, then the second wave.
Can he have two waves out at the same time?
No. That's why the idea is that you start the turn with a wave already launched. Come in, tractor the Romulan, wait for the drones to catch up that you had previously launched. After the Romulan deals with those, then launch another set of drones.
Well, I think that's a great way to eat two phaser S's, two plasma S's.
Yeah, not necessarily. It depends on timing.
Well,
That's
yeah, it all depends on timing. Timing's the number one thing along with speed.
yeah.
And but the problem is the drones are going speed 20.
Right. Well,
And the
the
other guy can come in and launch torps, play the shell game or not, and cloak. So yeah,
Understood.
I okay. I've and
The
cool.
question is, why would he cloak?
To not get tractored and recharge.
But
That would be the only reason. Yeah, no, the Firehawk's not really a good for cloak, and it's really a dancing boat.
yep.
And but it could be an unexpected tactic.
Oh,
The
agreed.
downside of it is that if they play a ballet game against each other, the win loses because he will run out of drones eventually.
Right, well, that's
And the other guy will never run out of plasma unless they're blown off his ship.
right, which is
If he plays the ballistic game, he has to basically, he really has to brick a shield and cross his fingers that he doesn't lose two tractors going in, tractor his opponent, and blow down that shield, take the hit, blow down that shield with his phasers on impulse 32 with all of his drones out. And then tractor rotation phase, suck them in and let them eat those drones on impulse one of the next turn. That's one way of doing it. The downside with the drones is they can also be destroyed after launch by the Romulan, and
Right,
you're
right,
getting a
right.
big part of that. If you have that wave up, you're working on the assumption that you're actually getting in and getting the tractor in and letting them catch up,
Right.
which it might not be as hard to do as it sounds if you can get the tractor down.
Right, and the key point there is that the Wax is close enough to the Firehawk that he knows he can make it in. Now, of course, the Firehawk can then put power into anti-tractor. And as I pointed out, the key thing when it comes to drones is, how does he plan on using them? My guess, it might be a combination of using them to drain, to slow them down at certain times. Obviously, not use them too much because it probably won't hold like the last two waves. He wants to, might well hold them back from the Romulan. And
But if he wants to get close to Tractrum, launching them at the beginning of the turn is a mistake because he's going to outrun them a lot. And his opponent could then also come in, launch plasma, and turn away and put that distance between him and the original wave of drones. And he could also turn early enough to keep from getting tractored right away. So if you really want to tractor them, I guess the one way to do it would be to get in and around impulse 22, 23, 24. So you somewhere where you have that not an 8 impulse delay issue on launching the next turn, you launch them at the latest point in the turn because it allows you to move them into the middle of the board instead of leaving them behind you. So he gets in and he takes the center of the board at speed 31 originally, and he's got the option to launch them at any time once he's in the middle of the board instead of having them at the edge of the board working their way in. This way, they've got an extended amount of time to chase the Romulan around the board if the Romulan then attempts to run away and
Right.
not get tractored, being, all selfish about not exploding and stuff. And
Yeah.
then if he does get in and get a tractor, then he can decelerate, which allows him to throw some of that extra remaining movement power into reserve shield, and it puts them both in the position where the drones will catch up quickly.
Yeah, well,
So that the other guy can't, he's going at half speed compared to them. So there's that as a thought. But the other side of all of that is you get it so that you can use that tractor rotation in or out to your advantage to let them catch those drones. So, and if he doesn't even launch them in that move up into the last third of the turn, then if he commits to not launching them and he tractors his opponent, like I said, impulse 32, it's every phaser into the Firehawk that bears after launching all your drones. And the thing that would be particularly devastating about that is if he's at range one and he launches, those four plus a shuttle, it's what phasers bear from the Firehawk to blow all that stuff up. And again, that's why it might be a good idea to have that wave coming in from a late launch, because then he has
Right.
to deal with those drones before the end of the turn. So, just there's so many variables in any game of SFB, any tournament.
Oh, agree. Agree. And I agree
And you.
that, and I agree that it would be a good idea to work as a wax player, work your way to the center of the map so that you can possibly corner the Romulan in the case of launching the drones late in the turn to force the Romulan player to run, basically run from the drones, use them as mobile terrain, and use the ship basically to kind of cut them off.
The downside, though, to the tractoring by ballistic pig method is that the Romulan could say, okay, go ahead and tractor me. Let him get to range one and he gets tractored. and launches 100 points of plasma.
Right. Well, again, the key there is
the
right is timing when it comes to where in the Romulan's reload cycle is he? Because invariably you have, out of every four turns, you have like one turn to attack. Where you can come in and he won't have that many plasma. He might have one plasma and that might be it. Depends upon that.
And that's assuming it's a multi-turn match.
Right.
Because if he goes for the center to capture it and try to get into the thing, it could be a one-turn game. Either way, all depending on loadout. You know, is the Romulan prepared to give him 100 points of plasma at point-blank range on turn one? Or is he going to try to dance it around? If he dances it, I think he has the advantage. It's just a matter of, can he grind down the shields on the, you know, does he play phaser boat a little bit?
Right.
Does he avoid bricking his own shields to keep his speed up? Does he decide to bolt and run, and then fast load Fs all of a sudden, boom, boom, on that, you know, vulnerable turn. Who knows? It could go so many different ways.
Oh, agreed. If
I'm sure Steve will come up with a good battle plan.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure the Firehawk player is going to come up with a good battle plan too. If he runs the same exact thing that he's done the last two games, though, it becomes predictable. Then he could be making his own problems. If he does something deliberately different, he could also be making his own problems. But if I have a feeling that, considering he beat you, he beat this guy, he beat
Bakia.
He's gonna be a tough fight for Steven, I think, unless he totally screws it up, the pooch, and gets tractored and eats a bunch of drones on impulse one of the next turn. So, how many drone racks does he have on that thing? Four or six?
Four.
So he could have two type fours out, two type ones out, and one scuttle, right? On a single launch phase. Which means that phaser wise, the Firehawk could probably wipe out that entire thing.
True.
He could probably wipe out the entire first launch. The problem is the shuttle goes so slow, he's pretty much going to have to launch that at point blank range.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, suicide shuttle, in that case, most of the time, the only time you launch it is after you tractor them.
Yeah.
You know? The only time is if you definitely have him cornered. Where he has nowhere to go. You know, and a little speed six shuttle can basically hit him without issue, which is pretty hard.
Yep. You know, he could also take a totally wacky off the cuff thing and just launch one here, one there, and get like several little extra phaser three platforms out there too. Especially if he's going in for the tractor later. So.
Agreed. Most annoying thing I ever had to do was it was a kind of a knife fight. Knife fight slash saber dance. We're in that range where, and my biggest issue was my opponent launched his shuttles. The problem was, I didn't have that many phasers. So the question always came to me, do I try to inflict as much damage on my opponent as possible, or do I take out the shuttles, which are going to inflict damage on me every single turn? Invariably, I'd go for trying to basically knock out the guy's ship. But then I had these two to three other shuttles flying around my ship, getting internals, you know, because they're flying around and I'm trying to keep my shield down. Well, I can't keep my shield down to both the shield, the ship, and the shuttles. So, you know, invariably they get on down shield and give me three more, like two or three more internals, you know.
Death by Primbrook. So
that's
paper cut.
Yep, down a little bit of time, and I finally got to the point where I got to kill these stupid shuttles because I'm dying here, you know. I probably should have killed them earlier on and not was worried about the my opponent. But yeah, I thought I could knock him out sooner. De la vie. Yep. So
that's potential on that.
Now I'm hoping I'm waiting to see, excuse me, when they schedule the game. Cause as y'all know, Jeff lives in Japan. So, and Steve definitely lives on the East Coast. So it's going to be the same kind of time difference that I did here, which is like a 14-hour time difference between us and Japan. Actually, that assumes one thing that I don't know you know this, Doug, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you know if Japan has like summertime or daylight saving time, that kind of thing?
I think they're smarter than us.
Okay.
But it wouldn't matter because if they don't, we're on the same page. If they do, we're on the same page. So.
Right. It changes the hour difference, but it does.
Yeah.
Instead of being 14 hours difference, I think
Well, you know, you could just pull it up on your computer and look.
These people, I tell you.
Change date and time settings. Change time zone. Let's see. Universal time right now. Where are you? Tokyo or someplace in Japan? Oddly enough, I think it might be the same time zone for the whole country.
That wouldn't surprise me. North-south
deal. I remember looking at a map. I mean, I think if it is in different time zones, it's north versus very far south.
Current time is 11 a.m. So it's a 13-hour difference. No DST. Time zone is JST. 13 hours ahead of Harrisburg.
Okay, so.
So currently it's Friday, their time.
You mean like Friday afternoon?
Friday morning.
Late Friday morning, yeah. 11 a.m.
Yep.
Good for them.
Yep.
So yeah, I have no idea how that's going to work out for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. And I know for us, we always played before he had to go to work. So that means it would be it was 7 o'clock in the morning his time. It would be 6 o'clock at night here. I'm not sure if he's going to be doing that or not. The only reason I bring it up is this, and that is, I would love to be able to record the game. So I'm keeping an eye out to see if there's an announcement, because currently, let me see. Oh no, actually, I stated it. Okay, so oh man. They're flying tomorrow night.
Why don't you just ask them to record it?
I'll see if they can. Because I would love that. Obviously, the difficult about, now I know this for a fact because I've done it many times myself. But the difficult part about recording it is that you cannot release the recording until after the game is done. Because a part of you recording, you're recording your EA.
Right.
So you don't want to, you know, tell, you know, for the current turn, like say you stopped in mid-turn, or even not even mid-turn, the end of the turn, you look, you can, opponent sees the previous turn, so he knows what you're possibly going to do the next turn.
Got it. Totally got it.
So, actually, there's one other possibility, which is, in theory, I could set up a recording and then leave for bowling. Of course, that assumes I'll be bowling tomorrow, just because of, I have to go to the doctor tomorrow because my knee's been hurting me and my foot's a little swollen. And they went, okay, you need to come in here. We need to take a look see at you. It's like, okay. Yeah, actually, I looked it up on the internet and they went, yeah, this, it could be nothing. It could be some other more concerning issues. So, yeah. Yeah, my knee's been hurting for the past 3 weeks. So, I've been able to bowl. I haven't had a problem there. You know, overall, it's not bad. The toughest part is sleeping. Because when you can't turn on your side because your knee hurts you, it's not good. I can't, and I sleeping on my back, I can do it for a little bit. I was doing it the other night, and then all of a sudden I got a cramp, like in the lower part of my calf. So,
did you try putting a pillow between your knees?
Yeah, that didn't work.
Yep, go see a doctor.
Yeah,
let me give you my most sage legal or my most sage medical advice possible.
What's that? Go see the doctor. We'll do that. As it is, yeah. I was actually talking to my priest at my church, and he mentioned, oh, you're limping. You know, it's like, yeah, it's you know, when these hurt me and so forth. I was like, okay, so when's your doctor's appointment? No, he said, what did your doctor say? I went,
go see a doctor.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I told my, I, you know, I called my doctor, and I did. Actually, I didn't call it. For my doctor, she's a little more modern. So instead of calling her, I write a message in the portal. And actually, the thing is, she's very good at getting back to me. You know, when I send her a message, you know, so she said, "Yeah, can you come in like today or tomorrow?" And I went, "Yeah." And then the office called and gave me, you know, set me an appointment up for tomorrow. So,
yay.
Yeah, they said the my normal physician / nurse practitioner or whatever. I'm not what she is, not sure what she is. I don't think she's a doctor. I think she's something else. But I'm pretty sure she's not an MD. But anyhow, they have another person who's going to be in there. That usually helps out, Holly. That's her name. To do this because she's not going to be in the office or will be too busy. But she'll be able. That person's going to be able to check me out and so forth. It's like, okay. That's fine. I have no problem with it. You know, I'm assuming that that person will consult with Holly and will get things worked out, whether I might have to go see a specialist or need to go get an x-ray or just hear some medication that you need to take, anything like that. So we'll just have to wait and see. In the meantime, before this becomes this week's in Paul's aches and pains. By the way, get off my lawn.
Hey,
Yes.
gamers plug.
Go.
Actually updated the site, so at any point you can give me what you want to do for Gamers of Summer. And you might want to go check the thread out for the convention. There was a gentleman that I believe I may have gamed with like 30 something years ago, asking if I played SFB, and I was like, not really so much nowadays, but some of the other guys coming to the convention do. So you might want to check his thing out, see if you know him. His name is Bruce. And maybe
Bruce.
connect with him, see if he's going to come out, wants to come out, has anything special he'd like to do. Play something, something, something social
Bruce.
there.
Don't
So
remember
just thought I'd
Bruce.
throw that out for you.
Yeah, oh yeah. I definitely will be happy if he wants to come out and play SFB. I'd be happy to play with them,
Or see what we can set up too.
Oh yeah. Hey, heck, if he just wants to have him and me play a large fleet battle for the whole weekend, I'm in. I think that'd be cool.
Well, see, there's that, and then there's, oh, hey, look, Puerto Rico.
Yeah. True. I
Or,
like
oh, look, brass.
the Lancaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yep. Oh yeah. Courage, anybody?
Oh, and he should be there too. Mike said he has no particular plan, should be there.
Okay, great. Okay.
So anyway, you were going to do something about monsters.
Yes, monsters. Aliens versus monsters. Ever see that movie?
Aliens versus monsters? Oh, good God, no. How long ago was that?
Oh,
I might have. I
that's
might,
a
but I
good
don't remember.
question. That's something that I could it's an animated film.
Okay, sounding familiar.
Okay, let me bring that up. Came out in 2009.
Okay. May have seen it way back when, may have seen clips of it, parts of it, all of it, none of it. Sounds familiar, but then again, it's. You were saying something about monsters.
Yes, sorry. That is. Forgot I was actually sharing my screen. So actually, that reminds me, since I know that the bottom of my screen gets cut off from people. Let's bring up the bottom of the page. Okay, let's look at this. Oops, hide sidebar. Now, basically, the scenario for this in SM11 is. Actually, kind of interesting in that there's a scout there, speed zero, weapon status zero. It's got, it says it down here. There are energy level of two. That's important after I describe why what EL, what happens with that. The idea is that this the cruiser, 120 to 150 BPV. Is coming to the scout's rescue because of the monster, has this energy monster has basically sucked the scout the all the energy out of the scout except for the two boxes. Is it the two boxes or is it just a, okay. Yeah, basically has no operating function except for life support at the moment. That's kind of important. The idea is that you need to rescue, you need to rescue the 50 crew units that are currently on the scout. They're very important scientists, and they need to, you know.
Yeah, they're more important than your crew. Got it.
Yep. Now, the number one thing to remember about this monster, this energy monster, you cannot kill it.
Aw.
Now, you got to be careful anyway. Now, okay, the cruiser, but if the cruiser gathers 100, the cruiser can gather 100 points of information about it, the science will be able to figure out it means later how to kill it. Though the funny part is, I don't think, let me just look at this real quick, because I'm pretty sure.
The imperative of the mission is to rescue the poor scientists.
Right, and
who cannot help themselves, apparently.
Well,
even though they were in a scout ship with all those labs and whatnot, they could not figure out how to kill this thing or get away from it.
Correct.
We got to save those guys at the expense of our crew members. Got it.
Yeah, they didn't realize that what
Every
was happening.
Red shirt on your ship just rolled his eyes.
Yep. The energy monitor sucked it dry. Now, the one thing you cannot do, you cannot tractor the scout. It's very crumbly. You tractor it and try to drag it, it's gone. The track has been damaged and will collapse, be destroyed, if towed by tractor. If the energy monitor is on the scout, it will roll for damage absorption normally, but cannot absorb any energy. The die roll in this case applies directly to the scout as internal damage, ignoring phaser directional restrictions. Big surprise. The monster does not gain any energy level towards splitting, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but will continue attacking until the scout is destroyed, even though the scout's EL will not be reduced below 2 until it is destroyed. Now, the monster tracks energy sources, and basically what it does is it goes after the highest energy level. And it will track that target until the end of the turn, or it completely absorbs it. In other words, it dies. Or the target leaves the map, in which case it considers it destroyed and selects a new target. And on the okay, another one. Okay, it says that if there's interested sensory field, the monster will begin to follow the new target until the end of the turn, or an object with a higher energy level enters the detection zone, which is 30 hexes. If a target was destroyed by being absorbed, the monster will analyze all available targets in its sensory range and begin pursuing the one with the highest level at that point. This analysis done with the same impulse. Okay, as I mentioned, you cannot destroy it. Speed is speed 32. Acceleration is 32. Turn mode, 0. At all speeds. Now.
Okay, then. You're hosed.
Yep. Absorption. If the energy monitor enters a hex occupied by an object, it absorbs energy from the object. If the object is the ship, you roll 2 dice and score this many damages on engines or APR/AWRs while recording that the monster has absorbed this amount of energy. You have to keep track of that energy. If the ship is reduced to 2 or less power points, the monster begins to damage it as in the scout, i.e. it starts doing just regular internals until it is all destroyed. If the object is seeking weapon or a mine, it explodes when absorbed, and it then the warhead explosive strength is the number of energy points absorbed. If the monster is merely in the explosive radius of a mine, it detonates and only absorbs half that energy. Probes launched by for information have no warhead strength. They have launched as a decoy. We'll talk about that later. Shuttles and Huawei's are immediately destroyed and their EL is absorbed. Now, that you have to be careful about. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Reproduction. The thing is, if it exceeds, if it absorbs more than 100 points of energy, it then divides in half. And the energy level total is reduced by 100, and the remainder is then divided evenly between the two monsters. And given energy enough, the master can divide repeatedly. So keep on attacking one monster, it can, or if it absorbs the energy from whatever object, it will then divide. Yay! Okay, energy levels. Pretty basic. For like the cruiser, it's the number on line 20 out of the 84. I forget what that line is. But basically, it's all the power drawn, including from the batteries, and placed into the battery, or placed into the batteries. The EL for shuttles / fighters is equal to the maximum speed without pack. So if you have a shuttle that speed 6, that's energy level of 6. And EL of drones, regardless of size, is 1. So it's rare that in fact the monster in this case will never go after drones, because obviously the scout has a EL of 2. So instead of going after drones, it'll just ignore them and go after the scout. Unless the scout's destroyed, in which case you lose. Ads can't be fired. Plus, no two, it's 5 regardless of size. And by the way, the monster is not fooled by PPTs. It knows that they're not real. EL of the suicide shuttle is the warhead strength, 3 to 18. I'm assuming, yeah, suicide shuttle, which is not, is it a pseudo suicide shuttle? It would be just 6, I would think. Because it would just be the shuttle.
What would be the point of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, no point. Because if you just launch a shuttle as a shuttle, it's EL of 6. Now, and the EL of a probe is 24. And of course, you have 5 probes. And the EL of a wild weasel is 35. Web is 0, but the monster enters the web, and it will absorb all the energy from the entire web and then move on it without stopping. Obviously, you might not want to actually use the web because it doesn't really stop. Mine are the explosive values. Okay, decoys. Various systems that can be used to decoy the monster away from your ship. Probes are armed as basically as probes. A represents counter on the board at the speed of 6. Drones can be used as decoys. The drones are launched together and remain in one hex. They count as a single target, all with their EL levels combined. If they're in different hexes, they count as separate targets of EL level 1. Drones launched in a group of decoy to decoy the monster cannot split to go to different hexes, but remain together, i.e., they have to have an EL greater than 2. Because otherwise, the highest EL level is going to be the scout. That. Of course, drones, plasma, and seeking shuttles must all launch to ballistic trajectories, but there's also obviously they're decoys. Monster will ignore it. Now, the tough part, of course, is that in my mind, this fact, which is it's equal to the number of line 20 of the energy form. I'm willing to bet That's the total amount of energy that you have. What was that case being? I would think it'd be really hard to have a decoy if your energy level is greater than your plasma or your drone. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that you can actually reduce your power output for your ship. You're allowed to do that. Therefore, your energy level will also be reduced. Now, that makes things difficult because you won't be able to move nearly as much. And your limits what you can do during that turn. But at the very least, it's possible that you can have it so that the energy monster is not chasing after you, but it's chasing after like a decoy. Because you definitely don't want it attacking the scout. Now, wizard will function until avoided. Instead of pulls like 30, if the weasel is absorbed, the monster gets all the EL level of the shuttle of the weasel, i.e. 35. So, that's a reminder. Do not launch that many wild weasels, because what will happen is that you'll have multiple monsters. Now, the one thing that I kind of neglected to remind people is that if there are two or more monsters, they will always track different targets unless there's no more targets available. Like if there's only one target,
you're hosed.
Well, then they'll both go after the same target.
What I just said.
Yeah. Shuttle transfer. Due to the monsters' effect on local space, only one creature can be transferred by shuttle at a time to allow sufficient shielding. If more than one crew unit is placed on the shuttle, all aboard perish. Ooh. Now the question.
It's your crew, apparently.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't. Okay. Da, 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 da. I don't see. I might have to look at it. Which is, I'm thinking about using transporters to transport a crew unit from the scout to the ship. That might, of course, that means the ship, the cruiser, has to drop a shield, but the scout already has no shield, at least to my knowledge.
Yeah, that sounds pretty much right. They're essentially hosed out of everything but life support, so.
Right. Okay, da-da-da-da. Shields have absolutely no value against the energy monster. The only time energy should be spent on them is if there's other factors, ion storm, radiation, and so forth. Okay, whatever. Probably it's going to talk about just that, right? I'm going to talk about the monster and not talk about the scenario. Okay, I don't see it. My assumption, since it didn't say that you can't transport and you have to do the effect on space.
Does it say if you can dock or not? True transfer by docking is pretty good.
Yeah. Tough part about that, obviously, is that it will attempt to destroy the shuttle. And I'm wondering, let me just look at this for a moment. Is there anything else? Nope, nothing there. Da-da-da. Right, because the monster definitely it wants to attack the scout. Right. I thought there was something that said that it this prefers the scout. Possible. Maybe I misinterpreted that. Probably did. Yeah, because it just says it's on the scalp. By any object, it absorbs energy from the object. Oh, okay. Because if I recall correctly, with dunking, don't you have to like both have to be stopped for a full turn?
I forget. I
I
have
have
the
to,
rules, I would look it up,
yeah,
but yeah.
I have to look up dunking to see if it actually provides much benefit when it comes to transferring crew units between ships. Because in my mind, if it does, it might be beneficial. But the issue there, of course, is that I feel pretty
Can you
confident
stop
in
and take the damage long? Can you
Yep.
stop long enough, take the damage, and survive?
Right. Because the energy monitor will catch up to you that turn. The turn that you have to sit there docked, you
Well, if
know.
it's going speed 30 tow,
Yeah.
it's going to catch up to you whenever, eventually.
Oh yeah.
You can't outrun it forever.
Very, very, very true. Victory condition is the player scores 1 point for each crew unit transferred from the scout to the cruiser, half a point for each point of information gathered. Oh, there it is. Assuming that the crew successfully disengages, the level of victory in percent is equal to number of points scored, see S2.3, to determine level of victory. The crew units can be transferred by transporters, yes, or one at a time by shuttlecraft. Okay, that was the one thing I wanted to know because of I can see easily you doing, which is doing a flyby, getting
Dropping
there.
the shield and using transporters, yeah.
Yeah. And since shuttles, not shuttles, shields are pointless, there's no reason even to power the shields. Now, the way I see it is that, of course, if you come flying in there to the scout, you're going to probably be the biggest energy level.
I think. I think there may be like emergency evacuation rules too that could apply. Like you can do more crew transfers. But I'd have to look that up. And that's probably in the basic rules, not the scenario rules.
Let me first see if I happen to have it here. Do, do, do. Nope. In theory, this should have it, but for the master, there it is. I know exactly what you're talking about, which is I think it's emergency catastrophic damage.
No, not really. Not catastrophic damage. Because that probably wouldn't apply because this thing's already catastrophically hosed over.
True, true.
It's probably incapable of invoking that rule.
Right, agreed.
But there's. May even be under the transporters. Crew units or transporters.
Okay, docking. Procedure docking to a base. With a base, the ship must be the same hex, moving at a practical speed of 1 or 0. Da, da, da. Every ship is moving 0, 1 or 0. The ship will dock and will not leave the hex. It will not move for impulse 32. All right. Okay. Okay. I'll turn after. Wow.
What's
What's
that?
oh, that is, if you dock, it says that on the turn of undocking, the ship is presumed to be at speed 1 or 0 and will remain the same hex as the base. This time about docking to a base, until it moves on the last impulse.
Yeah, you're not exactly blasting out of the spaceport there.
Nope. Okay, I mean. That's weird. Thumbnails. That's what it is. I wanted to see if probably not there. Where'd that be? Okay, transporters. Where's transporters? That's a G, right? Yep, G80. 0. There it is. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. Blockage. Right. Normal non-combat reach can perform one action, transport one or two crew units or equivalent to boarding party. Okay, but in combat, what? Emergency rate here. In emergency D21.3, when a ship is being completely evacuated, these transporter could carry up to 4 crew units. If
Right, but that's
transport.
from your ship going out.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what it's referring to. Roll D21.3. Okay. After catastrophic damage is declared. Okay.
Yeah, never mind that.
Yeah, that's D21, that's catastrophic damage. So basically, it's one crew unit per transporter during combat. And in my mind, this is combat. Sorry. So the best ship to grab is a commando ship.
Yeah, actually.
Have all those extra transporters.
Probably make several passes at it.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to do many passes because you only get all 50 crew units if possible.
Well, now here's a trivia question. You were saying you could put people on shuttles. How do you do that? Does your shuttle land on their ship?
Yep. The shuttle can land on your ship. Now, I'm assuming that you have to make sure you have, yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure you have to make sure you have enough room on your ship to have a
And
shuttle.
you have to slow down a lot too.
But here's the good thing about shuttles. And that is, you can tractor them and do
Yeah, the
the special
automated
landing
landing.
procedure.
However, you still have to be within a speed limitation to do that.
Right.
Otherwise, you blow your shuttle up when you tractor it.
You destroy the shuttle.
And this goes very contrary to the idea of like safely getting the people on boarded into the ship. Yeah.
Though they might die, you know?
Oh, we got their DNA for you. What? Yeah, exactly. Here's your scientist. Some assembly required.
Is it, you screwball? Here, what is?
Pack of the Kazini. Pack of the Zen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tack of the locals in. Yeah, something I can help you with. Yes, you're very cute.
Why, thank you.
Ow, 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 ow.
Well, I
Here's.
have two kids.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
What are you
I'm talking
doing?
to the cat.
He's being a goofball.
Oh.
But he's so cute, isn't he? Actually, we got in a few weeks we're gonna have a new kitten.
A guest cat.
No, not guests. We're adopting another one.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Crazy cat, man.
Oh,
Yeah, it was
no.
only
That's
the
my
other one.
youngest.
That was only the starter kit. Yeah.
Here, excuse me. There.
We are not getting a second cat here. At least not as long as Omaha's still around.
Understood. You got one cat, and that's more than enough, right?
Well, that plus, did I ever tell you about when we had Kitty come back at the other house when my mom was still alive years ago?
No.
When I first moved in with my mom, or back in with my mom, when back in 2006, she was like, "Ah, we can't have the cat." I'm allergic. You can't have the cat. Blah 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 blah. Okay. So I found a home for the cat. Years later, Erica talks us into getting Omaha when a friend had a litter, blah blah blah. And mom was like, "Okay, you can have the cat, you can have the kitten." And I'm like, "Really?" So yeah, we get Omaha, and then some many years later, the lady who had adopted Kitty couldn't deal with Kitty anymore, and Kitty had to come back. Oh my God, we tried the whole thing, all the advice about how to introduce the cats and how not to screw that up, and no, it did not work. So for the last 6 months of Kitty's existence, before she passed away of old age, I had to keep them separate. It did not go well. And the thing is, Omaha was not the aggressor. Kitty was an old alley cat when she decided to move in with me when I lived in Harrisburg. She had been a she's like a maybe juvenile just becoming adult when she discovered, hey, there's a human in this house and all that happy stuff. Yeah.
Understood.
And oh yeah, they did not get along.
Well, fortunately, my experience so far has, at least with, let me see, the two cats we've gotten, last two cats we got them as kittens, and it's a lot better.
Oh yeah, because they grew up used to each other.
Right? And as a kitten, it's not non-threatening, you know, there's the whole thing about a baby among us, you know, kind of thing. At least that's what I
Right,
feel like,
and they
because
grow up.
I think cats are really relational creatures, you know.
Territorial little jerks.
They can be, that is true. Just make
Like,
sure you
oh
don't.
yeah.
Yep.
And Omaha's territorial. She just wasn't the vicious attacker in that relationship. Erica comes over to me, and Omaha will get up and get between us. You want to talk about some jealousy? There you go.
Yep.
It's
Oh,
like,
wow.
yeah.
Really quick, and then we're gonna end it for this evening because it
Oh,
is getting late.
yeah, we diverged on cat talk.
Yep.
Yeah.
One quick thing, which is one of the variations, and I saw this, like, this looks like an interesting challenge, which is an enemy ship will provide an additional challenge. The enemy ship will win by preventing the transfer of the crew from the scout and not itself being destroyed. Which I think would be, that makes it quite an interesting idea. Just because of, okay, you have the enemy ship that's trying to destroy the scout, no big deal. But the problem is, the monster might still attack them. So,
Yeah, that's kind of a problem. I think
yeah.
that's funny as well.
Yeah. Exactly. You gotta make sure you don't get killed. That's it. I think it's a very interesting variation. Oh, another one. Oh, no, thank you. Which is, there's some of the other variants like, oh, had a monster divide at every 50 or 25 points of absorbed energy. You want to talk about a challenge? Dang. The monster with 25 point divisions and every impulse reevaluation of targets could obviously be defeated only by a legendary captain. Yeah, I totally and utterly agree with that. So, we're gonna be ending here. Please tell me. I'm waiting for the, okay. No, I told it to do this. If it doesn't go, it doesn't go. I'll leave it here. Anyway, Doug, it's been a pleasure having you around.
Thank you.
Okay, you've already done your plug for the games of summer, so.
Gamers of Summer, Labor Day weekend. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Yay!
Plan ahead.
Sorry, my thoughts catching the allergy thing right now. Our trees budded today because it was like almost 80 degrees.
I know, it was in the 70s, which actually was
Yeah.
kind of nice because I actually got to roll down the top on my Jeep.
Yeah, tomorrow. It shall be cold again. Yay,
Okay,
March. All right, thank you, Paul.
there you have a good night. So, it'll be interesting to see how that game gets played out, and I'm gonna see what I can do, whether see if they can record it. If they can't record it themselves, see if I can possibly, because I don't leave for bowling until after 5 o'clock. Have it to at least start the recording and see if I can let it go, and hopefully you'll get at least an idea of the game and how it all plays out. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.